I don't know if you noticed, but Jason said that Ken is a phenomenal preacher. Ken's out of town. My name is Harry. If you want to study the deity of Jesus Christ, there is no better resource than the Gospel of John. That's what the verses that Nick read at the outset of our lesson focuses on. It tells us the very meaning of that book. It is a unique book. The majority of what John says is not recorded in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, unlike the messages of those three books. When you study a harmony of the Gospels, John is sort of off by itself with regard to references. He uses more space to talk of less time in Jesus' life than all of the others. John tells us who Jesus is. John tells us what man should do to please the King. John tells us the result of man's response to Jesus Christ. John records what the Bible student would refer to as the I Ams of Jesus. When Ryan was off in Kentucky studying at the school for preachers, I'm sure that they had at least a section concerning the I Ams of Jesus. They are so insightful, even though short with regard to words. I am the bread of life. Jesus says, with that bread we'll never hunger. I am the light of the world. And with that light, you and I will never be in darkness. As darkness approaches our life from time to time, it is in direct relationship to leaving Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is light. Jesus was the I Am before Abraham. That speaks to his eternal nature. Jesus was the door. I am the door. It's through the door, Jesus, that salvation is reached. I am the good shepherd. So good is the shepherd called Jesus that he died for his sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. Men shall live even after death. An astounding thing to consider. It puts a whole new perspective on death. When you and I have, in our confidence in Jesus Christ, a hope after death, you know what it does? It changes a period to a comma in that thing called life. I am the vine. Apart from Jesus Christ and connection into the vine, we can do nothing. Nothing that is worthwhile on the scope of eternity. And then finally in our text, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The betrayal night. Can you feel the emotions of the betrayal night? That is most difficult for us to do because we know what happened later. And it gives us hope. But those people that were with Jesus on the night of betrayal didn't have that information as history, verifiable history, as you and I do. I ask you, to the extent that your imagination, your memory, your knowledge all mixed together will allow you, I ask you this morning, put yourself there on the night of betrayal. It's then, and only then, that you can understand why the disciples needed comfort. There are some that say that Jesus should have been the one comforted instead of comforting the disciples. I can understand that. But it was the disciples that were imperfect. It was the disciples that were confused about purpose. It was the disciples that from time to time doubted the godness of Jesus. It's not hard to imagine the questions that were upsetting the disciples. If Peter's going to deny, how will the rest of us react? He had no more authority than anyone else, but his very nature provided an atmosphere of leadership in many of the events that the disciples found themselves in. If this Peter that is so bold that he would get out of the boat and walk on the water, if he's going to deny, boy, what about me? If Jesus goes away, what happens to us? Does his going away mean that everything that we've looked forward to crumbles? All of the threats that we heard come to fruition? All of the strength and the ugliness of the Roman Empire falls on our head? Now, Jesus knows mankind. That's what chapter 2 and verse 25 says about Jesus. So he comforts them like this. Are you in that room? Can you share those feelings that we've talked about? Are you ready for the message? Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. What a message. I know Jason, and I know that he spent time considering, putting together, and reviewing and rewriting and making what he thought was right for the presentation a few moments ago. I know he did that. I know Trevor. And I know Austin. And I know Ryan. And Ryan. And there were a lot of Ryans. And I know the ones that teach and lead the singings and the prayers. I know that that wasn't the first time this week that Nick had read John 20. I know that. We prepare. We prepare because of the importance of the message. When you prepare for life, when you prepare to go into the world of Satan, when you prepare for death, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You know, the difficult thing is translating that message of hope to the times when we need it the most. That's the difficult thing. I think that not a person that sits here today has heard anything that they haven't heard before. But yet making that transition at the right time is just a hard thing to do. Perhaps we can use it more at more appropriate times if we spend regular time remembering what the message of hope is and through whom we get it. It will make us happier, stronger, more able to endure the difficulties of life. I'd like to make 3 points about the text in verse 6. First, the way. I'm about to tell you what the number one problem is that you have and that I have. It's the same problem. It's sin. Sin is man's number one problem, and thus the resolution of sin is man's number one need. They always go together, the number ones of problem and need. Jesus is the way that leads to heaven. Now, the phrase, the way, suggests something. When Glenn and I use the word the way, we think of a road or a pathway or some conduit to something. It's something to be followed. Apart from Jesus, there's no way to the Father. There's no conduit. There's no passageway. There's no road to the Father without Jesus Christ. One can choose many ways, but only one way leads to heaven. If you want to approach God, whether now or in the hereafter, you've got to go through Jesus. Only Jesus bridges the chasm that's caused by sin. In a few minutes, we're going to sing a song. And in that song, I think in the second verse, are the words, "There's no other way but this." That's the truth. That could not be any further from a lie. It is the antithesis of what Satan would have us believe. It's the truth. Jesus' way is the divine way. And as such, it needs to be followed. Jesus' way is the distinct way, because there is no other. Jesus' way is the demanding way, for it requires obedience. Second point, the truth. Jesus is man's answer to ignorance. You know what cures ignorance? Truth. That's what cures it. Ignorance is just made more ignorance by a lie. Jesus is the truth. Man's own wisdom fails short of true knowledge because we don't have the wherewithal for the completeness of information that Jesus had. I think we, many, at off times do well with what we have, but Jesus was complete. He was perfect. He had all knowledge. In him we learn man's origin. We learn man's purpose. We learn man's destiny. One is impressed to see how calmly Jesus speaks of such profound truth. You know what is characteristic of a person with all knowledge? Calmness of presentation. The less we know about that which we are about to communicate, the more nervousness, the less calmness there is in presentation. Jesus was profoundly calm in his presentation at the most volatile time because he had the truth. The calmness is because Jesus sees with perfect clarity, reveals with absolute certainty everything that man needs to know. Jesus never misquoted on any subject. You don't need to look on the second page to see if there's a retraction with Jesus. He never did. He was right the first time, every time. And when you consider how much he revealed, that's astounding. Scripture said the world couldn't contain if we had everything that he talked about, yet without one retraction. Stood on the bank and told Peter where the fish were. And he was right. Told a man where to wash and he would be healed. And he was right. Everything Jesus said was right. So we've seen information from verse 6 about the way and about the truth. And now, the life. Death is an awful dilemma for man. Have you noticed? As you grow older, you'll become closer to the problem. There are some that won't discuss it. There's an old adage in our culture, there's two things you never discuss, religion and politics. In Sun City, it's religion, politics, and death. But I got to tell you, nobody's going to avoid it, except those that are around when Jesus comes the second time. Some think medical advances will eradicate the problem, but it won't. You know how I know that? I know that from a passage of Scripture that we've been studying on Sunday morning in class. Maybe it was Wednesday. 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14. For we will all surely die. That about wraps it up. Knowing that death awaits. You know what we need? We need Him who is life. Wow, it sounds so simple. And simplicity is a good definition of the plan and the man. But it's not so easy to employ. Because we have a worthy adversary that prowls the earth like a roaring lion, seeking those that he might devour. But it makes the truth no less the truth. It makes the understanding no less understandable. It makes the doing no less doable if we hook on to Jesus and don't let go. How do we do that? One of the ways is to come together on the first day of the week to encourage and admonish and teach one another. I feel so bad for Daisy and Edna. It's a sad thing, isn't it? Because they were hooked to life and they let go on purpose. There's always a way back. But keep in mind, the longer the separation, the more difficult the reconnection. Please, be careful. And keep me careful. Because Jesus is the answer. Jesus' gospel in John is full of the word life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That whoever believes may in him have eternal life. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing to eternal life. For just as the Father has in me himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. If death is the number one enemy of man, then Jesus Christ is the number one friend of man. For Jesus overcomes death. Jesus is life in four areas. He's the source of physical life. John 1 and verse 3. Everything that lives does so because Jesus made it possible. He's the source of spiritual life. John 5, verse 24 and 25. We must prepare in him to receive blessings of life. He is the source of eternal life. John 3 and verse 16. Life in heaven depends on obedience to Jesus. If you have your Bible, just turn it to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and verse 8 and 9. In Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9, a message to those that were getting ready to leave Jesus and go back to a former life in the law of Moses. The author says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Those in heaven have white robes washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 5, Revelation 9, Revelation 7, Revelation 12, and verse 11. In Jesus Christ, life is enjoyable and it's meaningful. John 10 and verse 10. Those who think Christianity is dull and boring just simply have missed the mark. Christ is the sole supplier of the three greatest needs. We need the way to heaven, and He's it. We need the truth, and He's it. We need life now and in the hereafter, and He's it. My prayer for us this week is to see more clearly that Christ is the way worth going, and the truth is that worth knowing, and life is that worth living. We invite you to come to Jesus. Come while we stand and sing.
Why do you wait, dear brother?